Cultures have always recognized the central importance of food. That's why you find feasts and food wherever there are sacred festivals. The word festival comes from the same word as feast. Eating is such a sacred thing. This ancient understanding has been repressed in our culture, though. Eating is our deepest and most intimate connection with the created order, through which we actually embody the plants and animals of this earth, bring them into us, and they become the cells of this body that we use, and become the energy that allows us to walk and dance, listen and speak, feel and think. The act of eating is the act of transforming energy. We know this on a deep level, intuitively, that eating is very sacred. The two times when we, universally in all cultures, stop to pause and connect with the great mystery are at death with funerals, and at meals with prayers and with grace. We know intuitively that eating food is a profoundly meaningful action. We see in the Christian tradition, for example, that the central sacraments have to do with food and with eating, such as communion and the mystery of the transubstantiation of matter into spirit. This is, in one sense, what happens when we eat anything. There is a transmutation and a transformation of energy. Food is incredibly important to us, not just for our physical survival, but psychologically, spiritually, culturally, and symbolically. I remember when I was watching some ducks in Switzerland, the mother was teaching the ducklings how to feed, and I realized that it's the same with us. The most essential thing that the mother and father of any species teach their offspring is how to feed and what and how to eat. Our parents taught us that, and in teaching us that, they taught us the most essential thing. So naturally, we hold it very dearly, and we don't like it when anyone questions what our mother and our culture taught us about food. Because on a deep level, from the point of view of species survival, we take what we're taught as children about food very seriously. What I discovered, though, in looking into this whole thing about food is that when I look into food, I look into the very heart and soul of our culture. And by doing that, I'm able, and I think we're all able, to become liberated profoundly from the chains of violence and oppression and exclusion. All these things that cause so much suffering in our world. Our food requires the systematic exploitation, killing, and commodification of animals, and this requires that we all adopt a certain mentality. The mentality required by our food is an unseen, powerful force in generating our problems and the human violence in our world. This is an ancient insight, but it's been understandably repressed in our meat-eating culture. The Old Testament prophets, the early Christian fathers, Pythagoras in ancient Greece, and Gautama Buddha and Mahavira in India, understood this and articulated it. Many people over the last 2,000 to 2,500 years have emphasized this, the importance of food, and have also emphasized, all of them, the importance of not eating animals, of not causing suffering to animals for food. And yet we just didn't want to hear it, and we've been very good, actually, at covering up their teachings and hiding them. There's a whole lot about that which I won't have time to go into now, but we can see it in the ancient Greek tradition, in the Buddhist tradition, as well as in the Jewish and Christian traditions. As but one example, Pythagoras taught, and I quote, "As long as men massacre animals, they will kill each other. Indeed, he who sows the seeds of murder and pain cannot reap joy and love," end quote. Not exactly the Pythagorean theorem we learned in school, is it? In most of the religious traditions of the world, the original founders emphasized how important it is to have compassion for all life. But that teaching was covered up sometimes in just a matter of 30 or 50 years. Sometimes it took a few hundred years, but almost inevitably it was covered up quite a bit. This cover-up has always been essential because our natural compassion rebels against confining, commodifying, and killing animals for food. We have to deaden large areas of our sensitivity to do this, both individually and collectively. This desensitization causes, unfortunately, a diminishing of our intelligence.